that a pattern existed, even if Ka'ana herself wasn't consciously aware of having created one. The scheme that ultimately emerged was so deceptively simple, he was surprised no one had unravelled it. Ka'ana turned out not to be the pirate's original name, but rather one she had adopted after her father had relocated the family to Asmeru. In the ancient language of that mountainous world, the word referred to an ages-old festival that always fell on the same day of the planet's complex calendar. The 234th day of the local year, in the 16th month. Ka'ana had assigned each of the 5 numbers to a letter of her name, and had used that sequence as her basis for choosing targets. Thus, on her initial attack on an Iriadu mining convoy, she had targeted the 2nd container ship, counting back from the lead ship, then the 3rd one from that, then the 4th from that one, and so on, until she had grabbed 5 containers. On subsequent attacks, the sequence might commence, substituting the last targeted container for the lead vessel. Sometimes she would reverse the sequence, or move forward in the line, rather than toward the rear. Occasionally, a pattern would begin in one convoy, but wouldn't conclude until the next convoy, or even the one after that. The numeric sequence itself, however, never changed. Ka'ana was essentially spelling out her sobriquet over and over, as if leaving her mark on every convoy she attacked. Once Wilhuff had grasped the pattern and persuaded Outland's commanders that his months of obsession hadn't driven him completely mad, Iriadu Mining agreed to sacrifice several container ships to the pirates as a means of confirming the theory. Emboldened by the results, the company urged Outland to stock the predicted convoy targets with soldiers, but Wilhuff's paternal cousin, Ranulf Tarkin, proposed an alternative method for exacting revenge by secreting a computer virus in the container's hyperdrive motivators. One of Outland's most respected commanders, Ranulf, who so resembled Wilhuff's father they could have passed for twins, had designed the ploy years earlier, but Iriadu Mining had balked, based on the cost of having to outfit countless containers with the virused computers. With a lead on which containers Ka'ana would target, however, the company agreed to finance the measure, even though the strategy entailed dispatching only one convoy at a time, and often operating at a loss. To make matters worse, the attacks suddenly ceased. It was almost as if the pirates had learned of the ploy, and with increasing pressure from core buyers for added shipments, and wasting funds on attempts to ferret out spies in their midst, Iriadu Mining was on the brink of financial ruin when the marauders finally struck, targeting precisely those containers Wilhuff had predicted. No sooner did the pirates slave the containers to their frigate than the virus wormed its way into the ship's navicomputer, overriding the requested jump coordinates, and delivering it to a real space destination where Outland warships were lying in wait. Once the frigate had been crippled and boarded, and Ka'ana and her crew rounded up and shackled, Ranulf, always the gentleman, insisted on introducing the pirate queen to her 18-year-old captor. Her sneering expression ridiculed the very idea of it. "Barely a whisker on his chin, but luck enough for a professional sabacc player. It was your vanity that turned out to be a laudable substitute for luck," Wilhuff told her. "You need to leave your signature all over Iriadu's convoys." Her real eye opened wide and she quirked a grin that told him she understood what he had accomplished, but she followed up the begrudging grin with a snort of contempt. "There isn't a prison that can contain me, boy, even on Iriadu." Wilhuff offered the sly smile that would later become a kind of signature. "You're confusing Iriadu with worlds that have noble houses and trials by jury, Ka'ana." She searched his youthful face. "Execution on the spot, is it?" "Nothing so straightforward." She continued to appraise him openly and defiantly. "There's hardly a part of me that hasn't been replaced, boy. But take my word. I'm not the last of my kind, and your convoys will continue to suffer." He allowed a nod. "Only if we fail to discourage your followers." Outland had Ka'ana and her crew transferred to one of the stolen containers, whose sublight engines were programmed to send the ship slowly but inexorably toward the system's sun. The plight of the captives was broadcast over the pirate's own communications network, and several of Ka'ana's cohorts succeeded in determining the point of origin of the transmission and hastening to her rescue. Their ships were destroyed on sight by Outland forces. The rest were wise enough to go into hiding. Wilhuff demanded that the container ship's audio and video feeds be kept enabled to the very end, so that Outland's forces and any others who might have been listening could either savor or lament the agonized wails of the pirates as they were slowly roasted to death. In the end, even the notorious Ka'ana succumbed to the torture and wailed openly. "Your task is to teach them the meaning of law and order," Jova would Hector his nephew. "Then to punish them so that they remember the lesson. In the end, you'll have driven the fear of you so deeply into them that fear alone will have them cowering at your feet."